It's 5 p.m. I'll call this meeting of the Library Advisory Board of the City of McKinney to order. It's Thursday, January 18th, 2004. We are at the John and Judy Gay Library. We'll start with a roll call. Courtney Huggins.
Here.
Beth Beck.
Here.
Lisa Harris.
Here.
Michael Jones is not here. Elizabeth Michelle.
Here.
Stacy Ridenour is not here. Courtney, Connie Gibson.
Here.
And Kelly Gentinen is not here. There is one guest present for the record. We have a quorum. Your minutes for the November 16th meeting, 2023 meeting, have been distributed electronically. Hopefully you've had a chance to look over it. I will, are there any corrections to these minutes?
Do we not list the guests that were present, that made the presentation?
They are in, they were mentioned, thought, on
720 Designs, Marine Art, and
yes.
Okay.
Item 23-0940.
Did you see it on there? Mm-hmm. It all just, the text just all blends.
Let the record show that Stacy Ridenour has arrived. Any other corrections?
Move to approve.
A motion was made by Elizabeth Michelle to approve. Do I have a second? Second from Courtney Huggins. All in favor of approving the minutes as written, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The minutes are approved as written. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda, the director's report. I'm calling on Spencer Smith, Director of Libraries, to present the director's report.
And welcome, everyone. Hopefully you're having a good new year. So that's great too. It's not on my report. But I just wanted to show this should have been sent out. It was a good December for us. We actually had a slightly less than program attendance, but that was all made up because we didn't do volunteers as we're transitioning to a new volunteer coordinator. And so all of this teen 6 through 12 programs that you saw last year, none of that occurred. And so when you look at our all ages programming and our other programming, it actually grew or kept pace almost. I mean, we're talking, it's 34 total attendance difference one year over the other. And the K through 12 is 427 last year. And this year it is 29. So our team programs shrunk as we're waiting for, and our new volunteer coordinator started, so you expect to see that as it comes back. Caroling on the Square was a big success. We had, I think, more people than we've had in the past several years. They stepped as one group, but very positive reviews, and if you follow the city's social media, Gary Landeck, program manager, got online famous for a little bit because he was the Merry Christmas from the City photo. It was him out there doing the Caroling on the Square program. In December, we had 9,870 holds filled per request in the month. That's not the most ever in December, but it's the most post-pandemic, which really is the benchmark. Things change here. So this is showing the two branches. This distribution, I always try to make John and Judy Gay orange and Hall purple. I'm also really bad with colors, so if those colors aren't orange and purple, I apologize. But this, you'll see, is a standard breakdown. Two-thirds of stuff John and Judy Gay, third of stuff Hall. But that's, if you think about how many holds that's processed a day, and that's for 2,000, almost 2,400 different cardholders. So that's a lot of people who are using the system, how they're supposed to use the system, and getting those books on hold so when they come in, they're ready to go, or waiting for the next person. And then our public Wi-Fi 4.5 terabytes of data were used just on the public Wi-Fi between the two branches in the month of December. I don't know how many downloaded movies that equates to, but it's a lot of use. And that is similarly broken up. John and Judy Gay is busier, but Paul through December was seeing a lot of Wi-Fi use as well. Now that we can measure that over there. Sorry, this gets a little wonky when it changes shapes on me. So December study room use grew versus last year. So 100 more hours were used. That's 76% capacity for our study rooms used between both locations. John and Judy Gay was a little higher, Hall was a little lower, but Hall still had a lot of the study rooms being used. So the reservation system, the login there is working really well. People enjoy it. They're using it a lot. Soon, we'll start sharing other room usage since we eliminated the cost. We have a lot of groups using it. We have a lot of people who are trying to reserve it, but they don't quite meet the policies. And so it's a learning curve with some of them. But so far, so good. We haven't had a ton of, they're not at capacity, but they're being used more than they were before. So we don't have rooms sitting empty, which is part of our goal. There are neighborhood groups and nonprofits that are taking advantage of using them. And then our circulation was 127,000. Again, that's not that's down here at the bottom. When you throw in ebooks, that does make up the highest December circulation totals on record. We're still seeing a migration, especially at Hall, of adult users for fiction who are now ebook users. And so our door counts are a little down. And the physical material copies, not all of them, but in certain sections are down, but the ebook copies are more than making up for it. And so that's a trend that we continue to see. It's not kids. Kids' books are doing great. We do see picture books on a slight decline, and early readers are seeing growth, which makes sense as your population gets a one-year difference sometimes, right? So as they're coming into the next year, you expect to see that. But overall, it was a very positive December for us. And that 127, 540, I mean, that's nothing like a summer month. But for a December, that's a pretty busy December. We didn't see the major slowdown the way that we have in the past. After you get past Halloween, it starts to drop. It was there, but it wasn't as big of a drop. And part of that is the programming picked up. And I think actually the weather played a part because it didn't get really cold. It wasn't really hot. It was just a good kind of go get a book kind of weather. And then we had over 12,000 unique borrowers use their card to borrow an item in December. So that's the most ever in any December that we've ever had. And that's a lot of people. Most people, we know, when they check out once a year. Not a majority, but a plurality of people. That's the way they use us. And then the chart goes down the more they come. So for people to come multiple times in December, for that many people to come in December, that's a good sign for us. So we had our holiday programs. We had, I don't know how to pronounce it, Hug, Higgy. It's like a Danish word about like comfort and coziness. That was a very well-attended program. We actually had a family from Denmark who was visiting McKinney, saw that we were having it, couldn't believe it, came and loved it. So they had a great time. Our New Year's Eve, we did two balloon drops. It constantly sold out, so we had to keep upping the number. I think we ended up with like 600 and something people the Saturday before New Year's Eve at noon with their kids to do a balloon drop and have a celebration. Really proud of staff for doing that. We'd done it a while back, and then we kind of got away from it in the pandemic, but we never did it at this scale. And so when they came back, the scale that they're doing, it was just really fun. So it was a lot of fun there. Other than that, it was a normal, good December for us. Nothing to report in any problems, anything like that. Any questions about December or anything else?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
How does ebook work? Do you have an app or do you
email
it? Or?
There are a couple of different ways. The most common way is you get the Cloud Library app, and then you log in with your credentials, your library card number and your password, and then there are over 300,000 things, because we're part of a consortium, that are there. If it's not ours, you can't put it on hold, it just won't show up. So it kind of changes all the time depending on what Denton has or Alan has available. But most things we have there now, we don't buy them at the same ratio, so the hold times may look really long, but once other copies become available, it drops off faster than. So it might say, this is on hold for 2 years, and it might be because that book cost $150 to buy the ebook copy or the audiobook copy, but other libraries have it too, and they're not all at the same hold ratio. So if you have any questions, we can show you how to download that. It's iPhone or Android, and you can do it on your PC.
So a hold, what's the criteria for a hold? So if what I'm saying is, if the book is currently on the shelf in the library, I can't say hold that.
Yes, absolutely you can.
I can't.
We changed that a month after I got here, about 8 years ago.
Okay.
It helps people that got, if they're really busy, they've got small kids, if whatever the reason is, you can go through, and if you're doing something on the seasons, you can put a bunch of stuff on hold. Staff, we pull it multiple times. We have volunteers pull them multiple times a day. At any given time, when you start the day, you've got in between 200 and 400 holds at each location. We pull them. We have you can come pick it up, check it out, not have to browse, not have to do anything else. It saves a lot of time. For us, we like it because it's like, hey, it's a guaranteed checkout. We know that person found what they needed. It's right there. We help them get to it faster. But it counts in this report the same as if it's the brand new James Patterson book and you've been on hold for it because they were all checked out for the last month. Once it comes in for you, that counts the same. So we treat those the same. Now, the only thing that really have restrictions are the kits. You can only put a couple of those on hold at a time. And they have restrictions, but nobody ever gets to them. We like to set those pretty high and then see if it causes a problem when someone pushes against the ceiling. That's a big part of our volunteer pool now is, here's your list of books, go on a scavenger hunt. Here's where they should be, go find them, pull them. It's all anonymous, they don't know who's putting them on hold, just that it's requested. Roughly, at Hall, I'd say 2/3 of them are coming here. So that also saves people a lot because the vans aren't even going back and forth. And so we're saving you a trip across town. And about half of the ones pulled here go to Hall. And so it's a way for us to balance that demand without having to have five copies or two copies of everything at all times in both locations. Does that answer
your question? It does, thank you.
I use it every week. And I put a book on hold, and it's there the next morning usually, or the afternoon. It's so fast. But it's a huge help for homeschool families because we don't have access to public the libraries and schools. So, and this is one of the biggest communities of homeschool families. So I'm wondering how much it has input because I know you're giving.
Yeah, and we do see, our limit is 200 holds. There are a couple of people who get up there, but it's usually once. But most people don't. We have a chart where, like, most people put, if you think that 9,870 holds for 2,400 people, most people put a couple of things on. And a lot of times they'll have a running list and you can suspend it. And you can say, I want that in the future, but I don't want it now. And so it just allows people to kind of, hey, I want that book, but I don't want to read it now because my nightstand is full. And then they can just go in later and click it, and if it's on the shelf or they get the next copy, I'll get ready.
That right there is priceless because it's been a time where all of a sudden all my holds come in at the same time. And it's like, I can't read all these in a matter of 20 days.
Yeah, and that's sometimes there is a percentage of people who don't come in and pick them up. But that's just, to us, we're going to pull them anyway. Like, we're going to assume you're going to come. And if you don't, life is busy. So, we're doing it anyway. If we have a volunteer doing it or whatever. So it's just a service we like.
So if they don't come, how long do you?
7 days.
Okay.
And then on the seventh day, it automatically drops off. Someone pulls all those, and it goes on to the next person, or it gets shipped back. But again, the van's already going back and forth, so it's not like one extra book is costing any money or making any difference.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you scan out just a little, like on the different categories a little bit more?
Down here?
What, can you go through those?
Yeah, so these are, if you look on our catalog and you look at an advanced search, which literally nobody ever does that doesn't work here, it's fine. We have things broken down into collection codes. So you've got your early readers, your early reader nonfiction, your juvenile nonfiction, your juvenile fiction, your picture books, your favorite character picture books, all those things, mystery, science fiction, biography. And so this is just lumping those together. So biography and nonfiction for adults is in one group. All the fiction genres are in one group. Early reader fiction and nonfiction. Foreign language, so if it's our bilingual collection or our Spanish language collection, it's in there. And then kits that include storytime kits, STEAM kits, everything. It's just trying to lump them together in a way that you don't have 97, because you also have young adult, Spanish young adult, young adult graphic novels, Spanish young adult graphic novels, mid-grade graphic, you know, so there's a lot when we're doing it to make it findable on the shelves, but when you try to see it on a chart, it's just your eyes just glaze over. But when you, if you look at this through the link that was on there, this will actually pull up the percentage of the total circulation that each of those groupings makes. So fiction this year was 9.71% of all circulation in the month of December. That's checkouts and renewals. And so it's a little not fair sometimes because like the autobiography of Mark Twain, you're not getting through that in 3 weeks. So it's probably going to be two count twice because you're going to keep it. That's why also pre-pandemic, checkouts were 2 week periods and it renewed more times. So the checkouts, it's hard to do that because how many of those are renewals that now get turned in? But that's, does that answer your question a little bit? And you can, so you can track 12,378 fiction this year. Last year was 12,448. So, and it may have a little bit more circulation. But ebooks, which is digital down here, that's almost 25,000, and last year it was 18,000. So, it's great. People are using it. So.
For the reader
room
that are in your routine,
yes.
Out, do those get to count the people who attend those for
if it's not a part of the program, we do not count it as a program.
Okay, because I remember we talked about this in the past, but like it helps if you have more people attend certain programming, right? For funding and all this. I don't know how it works.
We'd like to have as many people attend our programs as possible, but if it's not a partnership program, like the board game group, this became a partnership program, but now the library is hosting it and supporting it, and it is open to everyone, so those things will count. Some things like retirement seminars, right, from a nonprofit group, they'll come to us, and they could either just book the room and do it themselves, and if they do that, we count it as a room booking, but if they have 100 people show up or one person show up, it doesn't change anything for us. But if it's something that's a group that we want to do a series with and we partner with them, that becomes a live program because the staff members assigned to them and they do the scheduling and work that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I didn't know the board game one was counted as
that. I think it, well, I don't know if it is now, but okay. One, there's one of them that has become a partnership
okay.
Where like staff is, but I don't know which one.
Okay, that's like we're still running
Gary.
The chess one.
but anything like that becomes that way where it is a partnership,
okay.
That becomes a library.
I said if those numbers would help out at all, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what it is, what it really helped out was for us to decide to not charge for the rooms. And as long as it's open to the public that there's a demand for them, because we saw, hey, there are 100 people coming. That means there's no place for them to go. We should adjust and make that available. And so there's a wide variety of people who are using the rooms now.
Awesome.
So it is really good. But no, we don't. As far as we're concerned, it's the same as if you book it, it's yours, as long as you're following our policy. We're not going to stick our nose in it and count.
I was hoping it helped. So
it does help. I'll tell you, every time a council member, somebody comes to the library, parking lot's full. And that is a visual help. People see people, they drive past and they're like, a lot of cars in your parking lot for a Wednesday at noon. And I was like, yeah, there are always cars. So all that helps, the use helps. And that's why in the future, as we start to get a track record of those room uses, we'll start sharing those to say, here's how many hours these were used this month. And so it's just to show that, because for us, if it's 10 people, or if it's 50 people, or if it's a group who's doing it, like there's an open to the public, not just for members, youth Toastmasters group. Great. They just booked the room. They didn't try to park. That helps us, because now we'll know, as we're redesigning the hall, there's still a demand for this. We need this. So yes, I don't want to say we don't care. We want it to be full all the time. But we don't go through and count.
Yeah.
And say, you can't have it because you only have 15 people. Another group had 115 people. But we don't want to get into that.
Thanks for that.
So if there are no...
Any questions from...
No.
Okay.
I do have, separate from the report, a question to ask of you all. I know we've asked it in the past. What would you like to hear from us in these reports? So we have planned, at least if you're with next month, we will do our marketing plan report. So the marketing coordinator for the library, she will be showing you what our plans are. Social media-wise, other marketing-wise, what the long-range plan is, so you can see what that is and know what's happening. We could do the same with volunteers. We could do the same with outreach. We can do the same with programming. But let us know what you want to hear. We can plan it out and make sure that we're ready and can actually present content that you want to see and know about. And if you have questions, we want to be able to answer them for you. And not me telling you, oh, I'll have to ask Gary what that is. Mm-hmm. If it's something we want to talk about, we want the experts in the room so they can give you the most correct answer.
Have you presented a programming report or program?
We do.
You've seen that.
Yeah, it's typically, usually a season preview. So like the summer, we'll do like pre-summer, we'll do one. And then after the summer, we'll do kind of a wrap-up and a preview of fall. But that doesn't mean it's the content that you want to see. It means that this is what we're going to tell you, but if you have questions or you'd like to know more different things, shoot me an email, let me know, and we can make sure to plan for that.
You know, for me, I love the volunteer and the programming, but then just anything where you can leverage us or how we can support you and what else that, you know, you need from us and maybe from our contacts, from what we have in the community. I know you have a lot of contacts already, but...
Well, I think you'll hear a bit about that at the marketing. You'll hear a bit about that at the volunteers, because she's also the volunteers and partnership coordinator. And so she started at the beginning of the year. She's already doing great. But we anticipate, you know, if you have a group or a member of a group that wants to be involved or have a partnership, she's going to be the connection there to get you through who you need to get to. So, yes, we will note that and make sure that we address those things through these other presentations as well. Because every aspect has elements of that. And the marketing, I know Kate has, I think, thoughts on the benefit of members of the board sharing things and knowing of things and things like that. So.
That's what I was going to suggest. Is maybe on the emails that we get about the reminder for the meeting, send us the graphics you have for the upcoming events that y'all are sharing. We can share it individually with our
influence. Yeah, I feel like I have a big outreach and would love to be able to get it out to support.
That's a good thing, again, for next month. We'll make sure that I'll let Kate know, hey, they're going to want to know this, so come prepared to be able to talk to them about that. She's also been great. She's been on board. All the Instagram stuff that the city's put up for the library stuff, she's been driving. I don't know if you saw it on when they did the Peanuts Christmas kind of dancing in here. I was going to be in it, but I had a meeting. That, you know, tons of views, tons of positive feedback, and the city's posting it. And it's kind of competitive. They don't just have a lot of open slots. So it's quality stuff that she's putting together.
Did you fill, I know you were looking for a couple of positions. Did you fill all your positions?
We are currently
knock on wood,
fully staffed. Except we have one part-time employee who has left us to go work at the library, and I went off the coast of Florida, I think, and I was like, we can't. full-time job. The Florida Keys and a library go for it. But that's a part-time position, should be posted soon. But other than that, I've even told staff as we start talking about budget, don't ask for new people because we don't have a place to put them. We literally,
it's great.
I walk back there, I used to just sit at an open desk. There aren't open desks anymore, but I'm over here and I'm like, that's awesome. Everybody's, they're working, it's good. It's unusual for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And crossing fingers, not going on, but we're happy with everybody, so we hope that it lasts as long as it can.
Okay.
Were there any updates, I guess, from the last meeting when we discussed the construction, the rejoining of the building?
That will be updates probably in March. We'll have a meeting with them next week about some MEP stuff and very like, how does the wiring and the building work and much of that stuff and technical stuff. But as far as funding and moving forward, we'll know more. Hopefully in March is the timeline.
Was there a decision made about how it's going to happen with the building?
It is not going to be on the bond slate. It will be funded, the plan is for it to be funded similar to the way that the recent airport expansion was funded, where it's a certificate obligation based on our finance director knows what he's doing, and I don't understand that, but I've been told, it's a council vote at that point, and so that is what we're working toward, building, so.
That's what you're hoping for, right?
Yes.
Wait, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's... I feel actually that the chances are much better, like dramatically better of it happening than if it was on a large, $500 million pardon, bond package. So, it's a positive for the life.
Okay. Sounds like more good work. Thank you, Spencer. Appreciate it. If there is no other business, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Connie Gibson has made a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
A second.
Lisa Harris has seconded it. All in favor of adjourning this meeting of the McKinney Library Advisory Board for January 18th, 2024, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The meeting's adjourned. Next meeting is February 15th.